than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is Purple Friday, but it is also spooky in here. It is Friday the 13th, Purple Friday.
Happy Friday the 13th, my friend. I know it's an official holiday for you.
You know what? My brain, I think, is going to explode the fact that it is Friday the 13th around Halloween in October. I mean...
You okay, dude? I mean, you're already, like, shaking right now.
I am. I wanted to take today off and just marathon all the Friday the 13th movies, but unfortunately, I did not do that. Did you know they were actually on Amazon Prime all summer? And I went through, I'm up to Friday the 13th Part 8. I just watched that one, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Are you a Friday the 13th fan?
Yeah, I mean, it's old school classic. I mean, I think Jigsaw comes out later this month. Is that right?
That's right.
Except it's a new Saw movie. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that. It's Friday the 13th. Get festive, and it's a great time of year. October. My birthday was last week. So, right in the middle of the football season, second quarter of the year. So, or season, I should say. So, we'll get right after it.
That's right. We're going to do a little bit differently on this episode of the Purple Friday preview. Earlier this week, we got to be a guest on Da Bear Brothers podcast, and they actually do a YouTube show. So we actually were on there with video, audio, everything. And I'm sure you guys have already checked that out because you guys are loyal listeners and fans of ours, and you follow us on Facebook, and we've already shared that, so you've seen it. But as a favor in return, Brandon and Will, they actually appeared on our show, and we pre-recorded a little interview with them. So we're going to play that now, and they're going to talk to us about Chicago and the Bears and what they've seen so far this year. So this was actually pretty cool. These guys were real chill dudes.
They certainly were, and it just was awesome to be a part of their show, and then vice versa. I have them on the call today, and it's just really interesting to see their point of views, get different perspectives, and then just to be a part of it all. And fellow podcasters just like us, take it for granted what we do. I mean, we do this for fun, and so do they. And I just love the enthusiasm that the guys bring, and we'll definitely get right to it. It's definitely an awesome interview.
That's right. So stay tuned with us. Check out after the break our interview with Brandon, great name, and Will, Da Bear Brothers, as we discuss the Ravens and Bears game coming up this Sunday. Welcome back to the Call Podcast. Joining us on a very special Purple Friday preview to talk Ravens and Bears, we have Will DeWitt and Brandon Hazlett from Da Bear Brothers Podcast. How's it going, guys?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having us. Been looking forward to this for quite a few weeks now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely doing well.
We're so excited to have you guys be a part of the show. But the name of your podcast, I mean, that's of course about the Chicago Bears, but it's also from that SNL skit. So let me just ask you, growing up, was that a huge part? Was that like a part of the culture of the Chicago Bears for you guys? Was that skit from SNL?
You know, yes and no. I mean, I've always appreciated it, always loved it. But, you know, when that was a thing, I didn't have the internet as a kid growing up. So it was one of those, as I got older, it was one of those I appreciated. My dad told me a little bit about it. But really, our name comes from, like, the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
And the movie. And actually, the fun fact, when we started doing our live videos on YouTube, our very first year, we thought it'd be a wonderful idea to wear sunglasses in the beginning of our shows. It doesn't work out so well. You see the screen reflecting, and it didn't take us long to realize it was a bad idea. But no, it's really it was inspired by the name of the Blues Brothers.
Okay, very cool. So sticking with movies real quick before we get into football, it's Friday the 13th. Are you guys big horror fans?
Somewhat. I can get into it.
So do you have a favorite horror movie? Is like a Jason movie, Friday the 13th? Do you have a favorite one of those?
For me, it's actually Pet Sematary.
Nice.
I love the book. I love Stephen King. Growing up, I know in middle school I had to do a book report, and I actually chose Pet Sematary. Never read a Stephen King book alone in your bed. It's the creepiest feeling you ever can do. But no, Pet Sematary always has a special place in my heart. That lead cat, that gray one, I had one that looked exactly the same. So for some reason, that's why I'm choosing Pet Sematary.
Nice. Brandon, what about you?
The Shining's always a classic for me.
Oh, that's a good one. That's going.
Here's Johnny.
Now you got to watch like the documentary. Was it like Room? I forget what it is. It's called Room 427 or something like that. About how you can watch it backwards and forwards, and there's really special stuff in there. Oh, it's crazy. But anyway, we're here to talk about football, Ravens and Bears. Josh, why don't you start off? I know you got a couple good questions for these guys.
Absolutely, guys, and thank you so much for joining our show, and it was definitely a pleasure to be on the show earlier with you guys on your guys' podcast. It was definitely a treat, but welcome to the Call Podcast. Wanted to ask you guys, jumping right into it, I'm very curious to know, because it obviously I had, I'm a big fantasy football enthusiast, and I had Kevin White in my fantasy draft, but with my question to any other one of you can answer, or rather both, as your receiving core, with Meredith and White being out, who do you see emerging as a threat in the receiving core, and who is like the primary right now number one receiver as you would deem necessary on the offense right now?
You want me to be honest with you guys?
Sure, please do.
Nobody's stepping up. That's the problem. That's why we're having such a hard time moving the ball through the year. Right now, we're pretty much leaning on a bunch of, undrafted players, either it be Josh Bellamy, Deontay Thompson, but he just now got cut today. Bringing up now Tanner Gentry, who Mitchell Trubisky did have a little bit of chemistry with throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, so perhaps that might be a player to watch. But honestly, right now, it's been our running backs. Tariq Cohen's been, he leads all running backs with targets. I know it's over 25 right now. But really, we've just been doing a lot of dink and dunk football, and we don't have a downfield threat, someone to go out there and stretch the field. In terms of wide receivers, perhaps Kendall Wright in the slot. But even then, it seems like he just gets lost in a shuffle after he gets a few catches each and every game.
Yeah, I was going to say Kendall Wright if I had to put a name to it.
It's so tough.
He is. Now he was proven well down in Tennessee, and happy to see that at least he's emerging as a threat on another offense. And just speaking about that, I just want to go right into it. Tariq Cohen, I mean, I love the targets in my fantasy squad. I mean, he's helped me out in a few games. But what do you see how the Bears are going to use him? As I know Jordan Howard's the guy right now. He's zinged up pretty much, and I'm surprised Jordan Howard's just still out there doing his thing. It's pretty impressive. But what do you see as far as a game plan? Do you see Cohen more of that passing back? Is he going to be an every down back, or how are they going to mix him in?
Yeah, Tariq Cohen, he's a little too small to be an every down kind of back. If I have to put it how the Bears are going to use him, primarily in a passing game. He does, like I said, he leads the entire team with 25 targets. He's averaging about 5.8 yards per carry. It's pretty much a lot of short gains. That's kind of like how they like to utilize him. It's almost like a running game, a lot of short passes to the outside. Get him in open space, see what he can do. But even when he's running the ball, it's kind of like the same effect. A lot of toss plays, get him into the outside. Because if he can beat you to the edge and turn up field, he's going to just run right past everybody. He has that elite speed. But what I've seen out of him this season that I don't want to say worries me, because I trust in his talent. I believe he's going to be a special player. But whenever he gets a little lost, you can tell he starts second guessing himself a little bit. And like on Monday, if you watch the tape, he's shuffling his feet a little bit too much, trying to dance instead of just, being decisive and hitting a hole and going for it. So for Tariq Cohen, really is primarily an outside guy. And then you have Jordan Howard, who can, bang it up in between the tackles.
Now, like you just said, the Bears had a game on Monday night. I mean, this isn't that big a deal. It's only one day, but it's a bit of a shortened week for this team. Playing on a Monday, they're not getting the full 7 days in between games. Brandon, let me start off with you. Are the Bears a different team when they're kind of thrown off their routine a little bit, playing a Thursday or a Monday game? Is there anything we can expect on Sunday from this team, maybe just to be, a little off because they didn't get enough sleep or something?
No, I think that's kind of about the right answer. Not enough sleep, because when they went from Sunday to Thursday playing the Packers on Thursday, they just looked like a totally different team. After beating the Steelers, I thought, man, these guys are hot, these guys are good, we're starting to build some momentum, turn our season around, and then Thursday night came and they fell kind of flat. So it's I think they're not necessarily talented enough to have a short week and be successful with it.
All right, so let me ask you, Mitchell Trubisky, He's a rookie quarterback coming into M&T Bank Stadium. How are the Chicago Bears preparing for the environment of M&T Bank Stadium? Because the Ravens are known to be – it's a very difficult place to play if you're a rookie quarterback.
That's a great question. You know, I believe – I mean, I'm sure you're going to see a lot of silent snap counts to hopefully limit some false start penalties. We've been dealing with those as well, especially now changing quarterbacks. The cadence is a little different. But in terms of Mitchell Trubisky, I think things that you're going to see is pretty much exactly what you saw on Monday night. A ton of rollouts, a ton of working him off of the play action. You're not going to see him just kind of drop back and be a sitting duck for, you know, Terrell Suggs to come out there and get the sack and pat him on the head afterwards. But really, I believe that the Bears, in terms of preparation, they just kind of got to work on getting healthy. Just like you guys have been dealing with injuries over in Baltimore, and here in Chicago for the second straight season, we're just becoming decimated with injuries, and particularly with the wide receivers and also our inside linebackers. We're now down to like the third string and also fifth string inside linebacker, which is not ideal if you know anything about football.
Now, what is your personal impressions of Mitchell Trubisky? He's a rookie. You haven't seen much of him, but has he impressed you guys from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I'd say so for me especially. I believe he looks the part of a franchise guy. Looks like he has the traits. Compared to like Mike Glennon, you can just see the difference when the ball's out of his hands. I mean, once that ball's out, like with Trubisky, it has zip. When I was watching Glennon for the first few weeks of the season, it was like the ball would come out and it would almost like stop in midair. It was just that slow. Defenses can react on it. But what I like about Trubisky is his accuracy, his poise, his ability to throw on a run. And I believe that on top of that, his humility is something that I've been taken away with. After that game, you know, he had the interception to Harrison Smith with the game still within reach with only a couple minutes left. But afterwards, in a post-game presser, you know, he said that was his fault. He'll learn from it. He'll watch the tape that night and learn from his mistakes. And then even in the locker room, it came out that he told that entire Bears team, like, hey, this loss is on me. And don't, you know, I'll make sure I do better for you guys next time. And I like how he takes that responsibility, despite that being his first, you know, career start. And I think that humility is really going to take him a long way with that drive and determination to hopefully become the best quarterback we've had here in Chicago.
I am going to mirror everything that Will just said. He impressed me. He's athletic. He's got the accuracy. He's a good leader. And one thing that I've been kind of touching on our shows anyway, is if the playbook can open up a little bit more for him, I think he'll have more success, because I'm not a big fan of Dow Loggins, our offensive coordinator, like a lot of dink and dunk passes. And I think that's kind of why we see him only throwing for 128 yards on 25 attempts against Minnesota on Monday night. So he's got the potential to do it, and he's got the athleticism, the leadership ability to do it. It's just a matter of getting the right pieces around him now, I think.
Absolutely. And I feel like, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing to that. Another thing I like is like his impromptu ability. Like when he's scrambling to the outside, it pretty much like it opens a new play begins once he's out there. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers-esque. There's like the touchdown to Zach Miller on Monday night. He's rolling to his right. He stops and he kind of just uses his finger and points Miller like, hey, go to your left, go to the center of the field. And then he kind of throws it that way. So that impromptu ability is something that I've never seen. Even with Jay Cutler, who had a little bit of that mobility potential, he just seemed like he would just find a way and force a throw, not really work with his receivers on that scramble drill. And hopefully that's something that he and his guys work on, because these Bears receivers all season long have had a hard time creating separation. And when you can extend the play, you know, add a few seconds to that, it definitely can at least improve the chances of these guys separating from defenders. I don't know if they can. It hasn't looked like it, but hopefully so.
Well, you always hope that they make plays. And I did notice that on Monday night, the ability for Mitchell to make those adjustments, and those things can't be taught. I feel like those are natural abilities a quarterback has. And something that Brandon mentioned is the dink and dunk. I know you guys are probably frustrated with it. You guys want big plays down the field like us. But if you look at the game film, especially with the Steelers, it was a little uncharacteristic about the Steelers game, because the Steelers have, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and they weren't really doing the big plays. It was a lot of dink and dunking, and the Patriots do the same thing. So I feel like that formula, the Ravens are hard-pressed against that. And another thing I wanted to add, too, is when you mentioned earlier about Tariq Cohen and getting the outside, our struggle is holding the outside. And I feel like if you guys run sweep plays or screen passes, we're in trouble on defense.
Oh, that's good. I'll pass that's it along news. To John Fox and company.
Way
absolutely.
To go. Way to go.
Hey, hey. Just hope they don't leak it to the team. But speaking of that, I'm very curious to know, because one of my favorite things to see in football is trick plays, and you guys had quite a fun time out there on Monday night with the trick plays. I mean, you had the fake punt for a touchdown, which was absolutely amazing, and you had that, I don't know if it was like a double flip for the two-point. I don't know what that was, but
that was insane.
That was an incredible play call, and I was just loving it, you know, smiling, and it just was great to watch on football. And that's another thing is, should we as the Ravens be aware of trick plays? You think John Fox and his staff are going to throw those in there on Sunday?
That's funny you say that.
I'll go ahead and answer that real quick. Went back earlier about saying how I wish they'd open up the playbook. I would like to see them run some more of those plays as well.
For me, it's just funny because it felt like John Fox was being that conservative coach his entire career to kind of like do those two plays. Because what I've seen from John Fox, you know, and ever since he's been here, is super conservative. He isn't going to go for it on fourth down. He isn't going to push the envelope too much and do some of that trickery plays. But that fake punt it shocked me, and I'm sure it shocked everyone else who was watching. And by the way, Patrick O'Donnell, our punter, is now like 74th on the all-time Bears passing list due to that play. So congratulations to our punter. But that two-point conversion is something where I don't know if I expect that the Bears would run that again now that there's tape on it. But actually, our third co-host, or our third host, Nicholas Moriano, he told me after the game that he saw that play at training camp, and they actually ended a practice running that, and he saw Trubisky running in the end zone off a flip from Zach Miller, and I was like, "Oh, that's neat." And then when he saw it, he had like a whole total case of deja vu. But I think there's a good chance that you should expect something like that. But now that they did two trick plays in 1 week, it's kind of hard to combat that with anything else moving forward in another week, especially with tape on it. And I think teams would be expecting it a little bit more. But now that we're, 1-4 on the year, you have a rookie, you got to do something fun. You got to change it up a little bit.
Absolutely, and let's hope for the festivities of Friday 13th. Let's hope it's treats and not tricks out there for the sake of it all. But and one last thing, I want to wrap it up here. Something very fun to talk about leading into next year with both of our teams. It's very exciting to know that with our linebackers, Ray Lewis and Brian Urlach are up for Hall of Fame. I know right now, obviously Ray's hands down first ballot. You can't know a question, but I want to ask you both. What are your thoughts? Does Brian Urlach get the nod for first ballot? Does he have enough career pedigree to warrant that?
I think so. I mean, I can't remember. It's been a few years. I can't remember how many Pro Bowls, but I know he won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award before, the defensive MVP. But I think the only thing that might hold him back is that Super Bowl 41 where he just couldn't beat Peyton Manning. And I think if he had that Lombardi trophy, that would definitely help, Ray Lewis for you guys. But I do think he has it, and I know people are also going to look at him like, well, he also had like someone like Lance Briggs next to him, a really good defense around him. But I mean, as a Bears fan, I hope, Brian Urlacher is that first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he has the pedigree. It just depends on how the votes go.
All right, guys, before we let you get out of here, let everybody know about your podcast, about your YouTube channel, where to follow you on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Even though we're Ravens podcast, there might be some people interested about a Chicago Bears show.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually know of a couple of our fans that do live in Baltimore. So, hey, if you're listening on this podcast as well, you can check us out on Twitter at The Bears Bros. Same thing with Facebook, facebook.com/TheBearsBros. On YouTube as well, just search in The Bears Brothers or The Bears Bros. We'll pop up. We're definitely up there. But, yeah, that's pretty much every way you can find us.
And you guys are available, on Apple Podcasts? Is there any other place for people to download and subscribe?
Yeah, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, which I think funnels into iHeartRadio, if I'm not mistaken. And then also Stitcher, if you're into that, and then Spreaker.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Call Podcast. Hey, let's have a great game on Sunday. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, I hope you dug that. Again, thank you to Brandon and Will for coming on the Call Podcast, The Bear Brothers. You can check them out on Twitter at The Bears Bros. You can check them out there. Make sure you give them a follow. Cool guys. Yeah, they're Bears fans. We won't hold it against them. They're good guys. Thank you again for coming on the show. They do YouTube shows. They do podcasts. It's real cool. So definitely go check them out. But I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, what do you think?
Pretty much, we got right down to it, and I'm just going to say this for this week. Festive Friday the 13th. Give it a hearty memory of, because it is Edgar Allan Poe. Was it the almost near the anniversary of his death? Right.
Yeah, that was last week.
That's right. It's why I had the cover on our podcast. So yeah. On our Facebook. So thank you to all listens, and with that, again, hearty. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
That's right. There's a place in Baltimore, the Annabelle Lee Tavern, who held a wake for Edgar Allan Poe this past Sunday.
I was trying to attend that, but obviously it was around the game, and I had my own agenda. But I want me and you to get out to the gravesite later this month, hopefully.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Annabelle Lee?
No, but I definitely want to do the horse you came in on saloon where he was supposedly last seen. So it's definitely love it for me because it's big Edgar Allan Poe fan. The Ravens obviously named after his famed poem. So it's definitely festive. I love it.
The Annabelle Lee has duck fat fries.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
I have to divulge.
Amazing. Let me tell you, I was with a couple friends at the Annabelle Lee, and we got a salted caramel cheesecake slice, and we split it. I took a little piece. I tasted it, and as everyone else was getting their piece, I cut it in half and just shoved half that cake in my mouth. And they're like, "What is your problem?" And like Joey and friends, I was like, "I'm not even sorry. That was amazing.
I'm Joey. It's like, I'm Brandon. This is what I do."
So now when we go back, I'm not allowed to share a dessert with anyone.
No more dessert with you and Annabelle Lee. Let's cut it off.
Yeah. All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and Josh is going to do some Facebook Live stuff. There's going to be photos and videos, news breaks. You'll be the first to hear it from us, so definitely go and check that out. Go over to our Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, "I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too." So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Again, thank you to DeBear Brothers for coming on our show. Thanks for having us on your show. That was a lot of fun. But Josh, you know what to do. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. And again, a huge thank you to Brandon and Will. It's definitely been a treat, and we're going to get right after it. Ravens Bears on Sunday. We have a chance to do something good, go to 4-2. Rookie quarterback, we know the drill. Again in Baltimore. Will the trend continue? We can only hope. We just have that perfect record. Let's just keep it unblemished. How about that? And we just need to get back to that winning pedigree. We already know the formula. We did it on Sunday in Oakland. It seems easier. It just seems a lot easier when everything's just going well, smooth sailing, and everything's like a well machine. But it's like, how inconsistent is it? They do it 1 week. They do it. They don't do it the next week. Which Ravens team will show up on Sunday? Let's be consistent. Let's get back to the winning ways. We have something special here right in front of us with the home stretch here coming up before the bye week. With that being said, get after it. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.